Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you transform your business, career, or life. I'm a big proponent of leveraging technology to gain strategic advantage. Well, there's a slip of words. That is why I sometimes bring technology business leaders onto the show to help other businesses achieve their goals. Now, whether it's increase sales, decrease your costs, or become more efficient in some way, whatever your goals are, technology plays an important role in making you successful. It is where you, if we were to look at the telecom industry, it's a huge multi-billion dollar industry, an industry that employs thousands of people, providing hundreds of services, all of which we use in business and our homes. And actually, we use in everyday life. Let's just face it. I mean, technology is just part of our lives nowadays, all around us. The telecom and technology industry is one that's being transformed, with larger companies taking over smaller companies, where service companies are being squeezed on price and quality, and where some industries' profit margins are shrinking. And even external adjustments in global markets impact our telecom and technology industry. That is why as business owners, managers, or even consumers, we need to think about strategically about the technologies we use and how we use them, especially if we want to maintain our competitive advantage. Even though the whole conversation of creating and maintaining competitive advantage may be for another show, we can borrow a lesson learned from the playbook of strategic management thinking and know that operational effectiveness alone cannot create competitive advantage. But we can at least learn to leverage our technologies, including telecommunication devices, to increase our productivity and drive down costs in our business operations, heck, even in our own personal lives. This is just a thought, and I hope to continue that thought on the show Set for Success with President and CEO Alan Caswell of Alpha Technologies. I'm sure you got some insights, Alan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Yeah, and you know, I've had you on here before, and we did a little bit of chat, I guess, previously about who you are and where you come from. I think it's always good to make that connection with our audience members. So why don't we start off there and say, Alan, who is Alan?
Alan's a guy that I guess learned to do what he does with some very, you know, larger companies, some very smart people, and took that knowledge 6 years ago and decided to strike out on my own with a business partner, Bruce, a good friend of mine that we, you know, had discussions over the years as to how we could do it better. And so in 2011, as far as we're concerned, we came out and we did it better.
You did it better. Yeah, but okay, so you did it better. You did it better in where or
in,
what?
In really focusing on, as you said earlier, you know, leveraging technology. And we use that term as part of our, you know, corporate mantra when it comes to leveraging technology to help companies, you know, be smarter, be more efficient, save more money, that aspect of things. Because we see it, Richard, all the time, whether it's email use or lack of email use, whether it is scheduling programs or sharing calendars or sharing contact lists. There's so many small things that businesses aren't doing. And in most cases, what we find just because they don't know how.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what are the things that are constraining them or stopping them from maybe being more efficient, I guess is the word that you use here.
Fear. I think fear, or really a lack of trust as you know, and probably deserved in certain circles, that we've had companies that have taken advantage of that knowledge, you know, where they've got a bit of more knowledge than their client does. And so therefore they can take advantage, unfortunately. And there are, you know, many stories about that happening.
We've
tried to strike out and get more engaged with the client. You know, for example, when we visit them, we don't just come and send a sales guy. We bring a few guys to come so that we can truly get a good snapshot of their environment, of the flow of how they work, and really not waste their time with having multiple visits, but bringing everybody so that we can provide a proper solution.
Now, I did say you're with Alpha Technologies.
Yes.
What does Alpha Technologies actually do?
So Alpha is the parent company, and what it does is it does managed services. So for example, companies such as Shindico, Salisbury House, those are companies that we manage. So by that, I mean, they don't have their own IT staff. They've gone away from that. And in a way, it's like kind of like cloud is becoming popular.
Yeah.
Well, offloading your IT is now becoming popular as well, because you don't worry about things like holidays.
Yeah.
Or benefits.
Yeah.
Or things of that nature. And you have a team of individuals managing you now versus one individual.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm a former IT executive, so I worked infrastructure operations, and I know at that point in my career, I mean, we had a lot of work to do in the sense of always upgrading the servers, always upgrading the desktops, always making sure that software was operating properly, and that was a significant capital expenditure.
Absolutely.
Often. So are you saying that your organization sort of helps mitigate that a little bit?
I'll give you a perfect example.
Yeah,
you mentioned, you know, servers. It was always updating servers.
Oh, well, gosh, yeah.
Because of internet increasing its presence, obviously, as it has year after year, and our businesses now having more consistent and more reliable internet connections, it's allowed us to start to offload some of those internal servers. As an example, email used to always be hosted in the environment, or what we'd like to call as on-premise.
Yeah.
Now, it's all gone cloud. And when you think of the advantages, if you're a business owner and there is any type of problem in your business, whether it is internet connection, power, or otherwise, you're not getting your email. If you're hosting with an outside service, well, for example, Microsoft and Office 365, they're not going down anytime soon. They've planned for that inevitability.
Yeah, they have that redundancy built in.
So you're
just like Google.
Going to get your mail. You're going to get those services. And when we take a look at the capital expenditures that are necessary when it's a large server with the client access licenses and all of the pieces that go in hand with it, the ROI or the return on investment, Richard, makes no sense at all. You're looking at upwards of 5 to 6 years of an ROI on a physical server when you compare it against the pricing that you pay every month to have that service hosted.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's interesting you would say that because I'm one of those people that I've run small businesses. I've owned small businesses. And there was a time when, you know, my company would pay for all this technology, right? I mean, we would invest in it. It was a regular buy and everything. And you're right. I mean, even my small business, so I'm sort of supporting you here. Mm-hmm. We've moved away from owning all of that to literally renting, for lack of a better
leasing.
Word, and leasing, or, you know, like that kind of thing. I mean, well, it's a monthly fee, right? But then I don't worry about it. You know, I don't worry about my email going down. So, I mean,
that's what's changed too, is we've seen a very, very much higher adoption to leasing.
Yeah.
Because leasing, when, you know, and we say to owners, and I more often than not say to owners, you don't want this computer in 5 years.
No, you don't want it in 2 years.
And you're paying to throw it away.
Yeah.
And we now pay to throw technology away because it's dated. There's no value. And yet you'd be amazed, Richard, at how many people still think that 6-year-old computer is worth something and end up spending more on keeping it fixed than they would on leasing a brand new one.
Yeah.
Which is limiting.
And that's limiting, you know.
Exactly.
With that thought in mind, we're actually coming to a point where we need to take a short break. But the whole technology side is fascinating because there's just so many permutations, if you wish, and things you get involved in when you can look at technology and how to make your organization more efficient. So, So with that thought in mind, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Alan, CEO of Alpha Technologies, and we'll hang out a bit more and we'll talk tech. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Alan Castell. Did I get it right, Alan?
Castell, yes.
Castell. But yeah, okay. Alpha Technologies. And we were chatting just before the break about technology and the challenge and everything. But I know that during break, we were talking a little bit about business philosophy. I mean, you have sort of a very interesting business philosophy. Maybe you can share that with us.
Well, I guess I've placed a high value on staff retention and customer retention. That's been really a focus, that as well as efficiency in what we do. So our hiring processes may be considered a little bit different because we do pay attention to the little details. For example, we have staff that had to come camping with us for a couple of days with all of the rest of the guys so that we understood that they had the ability to get along with everyone. So it's making sure that we operate as a team and that the people that we bring in are members of that team and understand that coming in.
So that, I want to go back to the whole idea of going camping because that would be like really scary for the person coming on board who maybe doesn't camp. That one thing. And the second piece is so you'd have to get over that hurdle because it's a bit of a strange request. And the second one is the bonding opportunity. So maybe you can address both of those.
Well, if they probably didn't like camping, and this may sound bad, but they probably wouldn't end up getting hired.
Oh, because they wouldn't fit into the culture?
Exactly. And that's really what we've established. I mean, the culture, right from how we designed our building with having an open concept to continue what we had done where we, you know, started the company in another, you know, smaller building. It was all about communication. It was all about making it an environment that mistakes were going to be made obvious if they happened so that we could fix them right away. Not for blame-laying purposes, but just simply for taking care of business in a sense. So the culture of the company is based around doing things together. You know, this weekend, I mean, after this show, Richard, we're going river rafting south of the city, you know, so there's, I think, 17 people total that we've got coming. So we've rented a spot for the weekend and we've invited some clients. We've invited all of our staff and their spouses, and we're going to be going down the Russo River in about 6 hours.
Russo River in about 6 hours.
Yeah.
Right on.
So we do that then in the fall. We do a Lac de Bonnie trip at Christmas time. Just after Christmas, we actually do a road trip to Lake Louise and we take our staff out skiing for 4 days and we spend New Year's Eve there. So we've done that now for about 5 years. So it's something that we, when we can't always pay as much as everybody else, especially when you're getting
company.
You have to look in other ways to keep your people. And part of it is by complimenting them. Part of it is by praise, but it's also by doing things together and expending a little bit of money to take people out.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that because years ago I was involved in a small company similar to yourselves. And, and that was really the CEO's philosophy also. He used to put on these incredible events for the people that worked there. And you know, you'd go off to Banff for the weekend and you'd be there and you were treated like royalty. I mean, beautiful dinners and events with the staff and stuff like this. You hated to leave because you could never put a price on that, right?
Exactly.
And so it created a very interesting culture.
I mean, what's the average cost of turning a person over? Is in the neighborhood estimated of $30,000 just to change a regular staff member, whether it's somebody in a restaurant or somebody in IT. So that's a lot of money for
a
small company.
It's interesting you would say that. I went to a presentation last night and business associate of mine was putting on, and that was what he was putting on the whiteboard. And he showed, you know, if a $100,000 employee, so I'm going to share a little bit on this. The initial cost, if you went through a recruiter, was 30%, right?
Okay,
so $30,000. But then you had the onboarding costs, right? And then you had continued training costs. And so when you added it all up, it came to like $85,000, $95,000 over like a 12-month period or whatever, 12 months, a two-year period. So the cost of replacing somebody is actually quite more significant than that. That's my point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in 6 years, we have not changed one staff member.
No, really? So your turnover rate is zero?
Zero. So we have zero. And it's not a knock on wood thing. I don't think that we'll see Alpha ever changing staff. We're very... And Richard, I guess I take that onus of responsibility on myself because I'm the door in. I'm the guy that at the end of the day makes the decision on who's there. So if somebody isn't the right fit, really at the end... whose fault is it?
Yeah.
It's kind of mine.
Yeah.
So I really treat those decisions that way. So we spend maybe a little more time and a few more coffees than most people do getting to know that person besides their ability to work, who they are as a person, and then make that decision as to whether they fit.
And that's actually really great advice for our listeners because guarantee there's other small business people out there who are having churn in their staff. They're hiring that salesperson. And actually, I just had a business associate of mine go through this, or friend, or I know lots of people in business.
Yeah.
And they keep hiring a salesperson, but they keep losing that salesperson and it's the wrong hire. You know, and that was the conversation I had to have with them. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, wrong hire, sometimes pay structure. So, I mean, I know when you know, there's commission only guys in sales. And if we're talking about sales specifically, I've always been a salary plus type of a guy because you need that base to give you comfort and show you that the company's investing in you.
Stability.
And it's not just a piece of what you bring in. So, I mean, we're a little different that way too, because our staff all understand profitability. They understand how to calculate what they make the company. So when it's time to have a talk with them as to whether there's productivity or not, they're usually pretty astute and pretty aware as to where they're at. So we're very happy with that.
You know, that's interesting you would say that because I think that's another good piece of advice for our listeners in terms of business. You said that your staff understand how to calculate their productivity and the value they are to the company. I've met with many CEOs or CFOs and they've often have said, you know, Richard, I'd really like it if my managers, at least managers, understood numbers, right? So you're saying you're actually teaching your staff numbers?
I break it down with them. I actually, you know, from the standpoint of how we designed the parts in our system for labor. So I can tell by running reports. Again, here we are using technology, but I'm going to run reports at the end of the year to see, okay, how many hours did that technician do? How many hours did he do in these different areas? So for example, because we do a lot of phone systems and voice over IP, how many hours did he dedicate to those installs, to time and materials, to, you know, the one-off kind of phone calls? And then I can get an assessment on how much money did he make the company from a gross standpoint. I pay staff truly based upon a percentage of gross. So if they make the company more because they worked harder or they worked smarter, then at the end of the year when we assess that, we're going to stroke a check to them for that difference because we know what they should have made.
So we got a nice bonus program going on.
Absolutely. And it is open-ended.
So with that thought, we're going to take a short break. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And I am hanging out with Alan, CEO of Alpha Technologies today. You know, just before our break, Alan, we were talking about staff and retention and all sorts of things. And then, you know, you're pretty much like a math type guy. You come across that way, right?
You're a numbers guy, right?
Yeah. And but as part of that, you were saying things like you're really into game theory. So how does game theory apply to your business?
I mean, statistics and math and all of these things all tie in together. And I think probably eight to 10 years ago, I started to look at the, you know, at numbers on as far as concurrency when it came to businesses and how many phone lines were you using. And I started to see that people were oversubscribed. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Using averaging really applies in this case. We should start looking at that. And that actually formed the foundation of how we actually approach a lot of our voice customers now, is really the technology has allowed us to measure usage, whereas before you couldn't measure it.
Okay.
So we're applying math in that way. In sales, people are very much part of a bell curve. We're all part of, you know, we all fall within the 88th percentile of this in most cases. So when I look at people in companies and how they're doing things and talking to them about sales, I remember reactions that I have, whether I liked to or not, so that I know the next time something to be said gets a certain reaction, make a change, you know. So it's always about making adjustments from a sales standpoint on the fly by being aware of your environment, by being aware of the people and their reactions to what you're doing. So that's not so much math, but when I walk into that room, I know based upon historical data that I've gathered out of my own, you know, 30 years of being in this industry, what I can lead with, what lines work, which ones don't, how do you greet, how do you not? I mean, whether to ask people what they want or whether to ask people about how old are their kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's lots
of
different ways to gain that entry, and I call that attachment points. I mean, the more our focus is probably make friends with the people that we do business with, because no matter what, if you don't like somebody, Richard, you're not spending money with them.
Yeah, you know, and it is, it's funny you would say that, because I had this whole conversation about relationships the other day in business, and really, that's what it is. I mean, you want to do business with people that you're friends with, you know, and it's not the idea that, and so you got to spend some time on
that. And it's long term. I mean, it's long term, hence the kind of game theory concept that you know, we use is we're not here to just win in the beginning and to, you know, make a big deal and make a bunch of money and then have this customer be upset because we didn't deliver. We're much more willing to put what we are and who we are up front, and then base that, our business model and our business growth, on the fact that we are good at what we do. And we eventually know that customers will see and believe in that. And as the numbers grow and the client list grows, that business starts to come back to you.
So your company grows too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I know you've had some exciting news this last fall. I think you've made a bit of a change in your organization.
We outgrew our starting spot. And, you know, you hear that started in a garage, but we literally did start in a garage. Yeah. So once we hit 6 full-time staff, Bruce and I decided that it was time to move. But we'd always made it very clear with each other that we did not want to lease or we didn't want to rent. We wanted to own. And an opportunity came up where we had a chance to have a tenant. So they were willing to sign a 5-year lease, and that precipitated us buying 1783 Portage Avenue.
Oh, right on. Yeah. So you bought your own building.
Just a little bit west of here, Richard. Yeah, okay. So we bought our own building, and it's got a nice sign on it. We moved in officially about 2 months ago, but our client, or our tenants, a company called Amuse and Games, a board game, card game, you know, I'm sounding like an advertisement for them, but wonderful couple. They I had a relationship with them, and they had said to me, we need to find more room, and that precipitated a conversation between Bruce and I about, we may have something here.
So if you could actually find a space that you could buy,
and
you could
we
lease
did
out to somebody else.
And
right.
I mean, their sales are up tremendously because they've come from, you know, a Dungeons and Dragons type store, not being in a dungeon,
to
a nice wide open glass faced modern facility where they've got a huge increase in growth. And it's been wonderful to watch them. They moved in November.
Yeah. What I find very interesting about this story is that as entrepreneurs, yourself and Bruce, your partner,
yes,
right? An opportunity presented itself, and then you leverage that opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, and so.
Richard, it was I was in on a Saturday morning, and Scotia, one of the owners of Amusing Games, said, you know, Alan, and you know, and I would go there frequently just to see what's new, what new games is there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I own a collection myself. And as soon as she said that, I went outside of their store, got on my phoned my business partner, and said, we may have an opportunity here, Bruce. And it was within 2 weeks that things started to happen. We found the property within a month. And it's been a whirlwind, but they, because of certain conventions that were going on in Winnipeg, needed to move by a date, and we made that happen. And it's been just a fantastic relationship.
Good, yeah. Good. You know, I wanted to explore this a little bit with you, Alan, just because I think other entrepreneurs are out there and they're looking at their business, and maybe they're looking to move their business. They're trying to figure out a way to do it. You know, and what are those opportunities that present themselves to you, and can you take advantage of them when they do present themselves? So this is a win-win-win for everybody.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, obviously cash has to do with it too, which you have available, but no, the opportunity was there and it all made sense. It was hard to resist.
Yeah. And it's going to be a nice business investment for you guys. During the break, we were talking a little bit about your one-on-one time with your staff members.
Yes.
And I think that was something that you said you hold in very high regard. Can you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Because
because it's a cultural type thing.
Yeah, we're, you know, we it's not Google. I mean, but we definitely have, for example, our technicians don't have hours. And I know, I'm sure I'm going to have some techs maybe beating down my doors now going, hey.
And can I work there?
But what they have is they have a get it done mentality. Every new client that we bring on board gets my cell number. Yeah. If my cell is quiet, all is well.
All is good.
And the staff know that. So if the technicians want to adjust their schedule by staying up until 2 to do some backup and remote backup for customers and come in a little bit later because they've arranged their day, I honestly don't even know that they're doing it. I just know that results are happening because I see the emails.
You can see the reports.
So when I have, you know, one-on-ones or things need to be talked about, and really, Richard, it is very rare, probably 5 or 6 times in 6 years that I've even had to have some one-on-ones. I know one, and it's not a tactic because that makes it sound bad. It's just a way that I do things is I make sure to reassure that employee that this is not going to be a game changer. How much I care about what they do. I care about their position with Alpha as a company. And then after reassuring that connection with them, maybe talk about, you know, you could do this a little bit better, or we could make some little adjustments here. Or what do you think about, you know, this that's going on? So there's a lot of that one-on-one because I find that in a group, not everybody talks. One-on-one, you
and
get that
real... And
they
can open up a little bit and you can create some relationships.
And I suck up all the air in a room anyway, so sometimes it's hard to get some space when I'm in there too. So I realize my fallow, you know, where I fall down and give opportunities to people to help me up as well.
It's interesting you would say that. So the one-on-one, I had this great conversation with Glenn Buehler about a week or two ago, and he's the CEO of Oxygen Technology, I think. And
yeah, no, I know Glenn.
10, right? The executive network. And one of the things he was saying, he just loves these little things that he can use when applying to staff members or not. And it's either, and one of the things is it's skill or it's motivation. So do they have the skill or do they have the motivation? And you know, what do you do with that? And I think you sort of just sort of gave an example of that. You know, you sit down with somebody and you're finding out, well, if something's not happening, is it a skill issue? Is it a motivation issue? What's going on?
But you've got to lead by example. And I think we've been lucky because bringing the staff to clients, they see the talk, you know, they don't, and then they watch the walk afterwards, if we want to use that, you know, term. So it's much easier to say things to people and to make corrections when those people see you being willing to take correction as well. So it's lead through example, and it's been not always easy because sometimes you're taking blame for things that aren't your fault, but that is the way that it goes, and that's ownership.
That's part of business leadership.
Absolutely.
Right? That accountability piece, right? The buck stops here, and it sounds like to me that you're a buck stops here type guy.
Whether I'd like it or not, that's kind of what's happened, and I've learned, absolutely.
Yeah. You've learned in that respect. I do want to chat with you a little bit about your customers and that. I know that you've put them lists on the internet and stuff, but we're coming up on a point where we've got to take a short break. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about customer service when we come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Alan, CEO of Alpha Technologies. You know, Alan, during the break, and actually at the beginning of the show, I opened the show and was talking about the telecom industry and all the big changes and everything that's taking place there. Huge multi-billion-dollar industry in our country, well, globally too. But what's happening right now in the whole telecom industry from your perspective?
I mean, there's been a gradual shift, and I think we're seeing this now. I mean, with the advent of Bell, you know, taking over one of the, you know, old locals, I guess, in MTS. There's been some changes. I mean, we've had an increase in people reaching out to us because there's certain contracts are now not in place. There are certain facilities that were, you know, bound to certain contracts that have now changed. And so clients have been informed that, you know, they have a certain amount of time to change some of their telecom paths. And what we've seen and what we focused on from the beginning and the inception of this company was voice over data was one of the staples of what we were pursuing. And that was because we understood that as time goes on, the path of the data path coming into your house is becoming like hydro. It's becoming like your power. It is as necessary as your heat, your water, and power. So the more that we trust in that highway, so to speak, the more that we can push through it. So from the beginning with Alpha, we've never used traditional telecom. We've never used phone lines. We've never used what are called primary rate interfaces, or we've never used contracted services, because your business isn't static. Your business is dynamic. And therefore, as far as we're concerned, your ability to adjust your communication paths needs to be dynamic as well. When you're pushing your voice over your data path, or video conferencing in that case, it allows you a lot more flexibility, and it also allows you to manage your costs much more effectively. So what we've seen with this telecom change is that the power is now not necessarily in the hands of all of the big boys anymore. So a lot more were of the smaller companies, small businesses, wireless companies that have now popped up to fill in the holes because telecommunications companies weren't doing it. Are push up north now to provide services to a lot of people that are up north that weren't getting it before. That's being brought on board by not Bells, not Rogers, you know, not the Shaws of the world. It's being brought on board by smaller companies such as Voyager Internet, a company that we do a lot of work with, less, you know, .net, another company we do a lot of work with, and I've gotten to know the owners. And so we've helped to push into the country with them by bringing voice over IP technology to companies that aren't necessarily hooked up to a wire. So using wireless, good wireless connectivity, and in most cases, I would say a company of 20 people or more that we've dealt with out of Winnipeg is halving their communications costs.
So they're actually bringing their costs down.
We're bringing their costs down, and that's even including the lease, as we spoke about earlier, Richard, with, you know, leasing making more sense. So we're now helping customers to make those decisions. Because of my math background, I put those numbers down on paper and I show them, and I'm very proud to be probably within 5%, you know, every single time.
Yeah, I'd be getting those numbers right. Mm-hmm. I know we've had this conversation before, and I understand it from a small business perspective. It's one of the things that we did, what was it, 18 months ago or 24 months ago, we got rid of our landlines. Mm-hmm. Everything's by cell phone now, you know. And when you look at our 1-800 numbers and everything, it's all VoIP, you know. Even our international calls is all through Skype now. You know, like, and so we've arranged all that. So, I mean, a few things, but that's a small business type situation, right?
Where that's dependent on bandwidth, right?
Depending on bandwidth and decreasing costs and stuff, you know, so also.
And that's the part that I think a tech company like Alpha brings, is that we don't just say, do this, do Skype.
Yeah.
We say, let's measure your internet first. Let's take a look at that.
Let's see
if there's jitter before we decide to push something that may cause bad quality versus good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got to consider
you
all those
You have to look at
things.
All these pieces, yes.
Yeah, all those pieces. You're talking about, I'm curious, right?
Okay.
Because I'm curious about the technology, and I understand wires going through homes and all this stuff and going in businesses, but you can literally remove all of that infrastructure now, right?
You can, if you're willing to take the speed hit. Wire is still faster. And fiber is now the next wire, so to speak. That's what's coming in.
So the fiber opportunity still exists.
Well, fiber is, I mean, it's another way of deploying data, but it's also a way where you can lay out a smaller amount of pipe and send a lot more data through it. So we're seeing increased paths with a lot less labor to pull it.
What about things like, I'm just curious, right, about cell towers and stuff? Like, is that still a huge telecommunication
tower? We do, yes. We still need it, because even if we're using VoIP, so to speak, we still have to push it through a data path. So even on your phone, you still have a cellular radio in your phone where you're using, you know, the traditional, I guess, the cellular type of radio services. But we have times where we're in a cellular area that we don't have good cell signal, but we have good data.
Yeah.
And so we'll push a VoIP call through that data path. In the case of me being connected to my company through a 3-digit extension, I've had phone calls where I've been out of the country, and the phone calls I'm making are being based from the phone system here in Winnipeg, because I'm just connected to it through the whole hotel's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Zero cost.
Zero cost. You're just sort of going right through the
And I'm making
line.
Local calls, and my customers, as far as they're concerned, I'm in Winnipeg.
Yeah. They see your local number and where you go.
Richard, I've taken phone calls just last year skiing in Lake Louise, and I got a call listening to music on the helmet, Bluetooth speakers in my helmet. All of a sudden, my helmet rings.
Yeah.
I ended up having a fantastic conversation with somebody in Winnipeg where at one point they said, boy, are you outside? And I said, actually, I'm on the side of a mountain. And they thought they were bothering me when they didn't really understand that I had the biggest grin on my face, because that's empowerment.
Yeah.
I can do my job while I'm skiing. How good is that?
That's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I got the same idea with mountain biking and motorcycles.
Yes.
Right? And
motorcycles might be a little louder.
A little louder.
Exactly.
I got that sound, but I completely understand that. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Probably the best way is you know, either stop by at the store and come on by and see our new digs at 1783 Portage Avenue. You can send an email to me personally if you'd like at Alan, A-L-A-N, at Alpha Technologies, I-E-S at the end, .ca. Or give us a shout, 204-415-6550.
Yeah, there you go. That's a lot in a very short period of time. Earlier on, we were talking about customers,
yes,
right? And actually, this was during one of the commercial breaks, and you and I were talking about having customer lists on our website, mm-hmm, right? And whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, right? So what's your perspective on that?
I think that really depends on who you are as a company.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I mean, from our standpoint, we do it and we ask permission. We obviously don't do that without the permission of the customers,
sure,
but
sure,
it allows us to cross market for one. So just even as I've mentioned a couple of companies, you know, online with you today, there's a bit of a marketing reason behind it,
sure,
but it also reaffirms to them and it reaffirms to us, you know, the people that we are in a relationship with. And just like any other relationship, if you're proud of it, you talk about
it. Why don't you just talk about it?
Exactly. And we're not afraid of somebody coming in to take that customer. And if we were, I wouldn't put them on the site. And two, I'd probably put my nose to the grindstone and find out why I was afraid of losing that customer.
Yeah.
You know, so we do have that mentality that not every customer is the right fit for every company. So there are times, and we've had it happen, where we've had to say, you know, there may be a better fit for you somewhere else. And that, I think, is also a smart business thing, is you need to know when to cut and walk. And
yeah,
a lot of guys don't.
I used to have a boss years ago. This is like when I first started my career, when mm-hmm, I was 25 or so. And he would actually say, you know, you need to be, to make a deal, you need to be able to walk away from a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's sort of the same adage.
A willingness, right? I think. Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, if you're begging for it too much, I know as a customer, if a sales guy's begging me for too much of a reason to buy something, I'm now looking deeper into what's going on with this versus, you know, staying shallow.
Yeah, then mm-hmm, that makes a lot of sense. You know what? It's been a great show. I've thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with you.
I love coming here.
Yeah. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Wow. Don't take your business costs for granted if we want to keep it on the business side. You know, it's something that we reaffirm with our customers every 30 days. We've decided to have a 30-day contract with our customers. So if you don't like us, there's nothing binding you for keeping us for a year. So it's a completely different mentality. And to date, in 6 years, we've changed over 3 customers, and it wasn't at their initiation. So it really makes everybody that I work with, and I'm lucky to work with, stand up and say, no, we're proud of what we do. And if we are, then we're not going to lose anybody. So, you know, don't take things for granted.
That's a great advice. Alan, I want to thank you for hanging out with me today.
Well, thank you, Richard.
You know, it's been a blast. Also, listeners, I want to thank you for hanging out with us today, too. If you have an idea, a thought, or a question, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. That's richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.